Hi, this is Paul Siegel, and you're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and youtube.com/wanderingdms/live. And now, on with the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul, and Dan is still out this week, so I'm running the show solo again. Today on Wandering DMs, we're doing a dungeon design dash. That's right, you asked for it, so here it is. I'll be attempting to design a one-on-one adventure in just 1 hour, all by myself. Well, not really. I'll need your help. I'll be very carefully monitoring the chat today, so please chime in and help me make a truly twisted adventure to run for Dan when he returns. All that and more today on Wandering DMs. Before we get started on the show today, I just want to remind everyone that, as always, at the end of the show, I will be hosting our after-party chat. That is a live video chat hosted by me on our private Discord server, and you can join in by becoming a patron. Just visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. Join at any tier, even the $1 tier will get you an invite to our private Discord server. Get your account all set up over there before the end of the show, and maybe about 10 minutes after the end of the show, I will be there to chat with you all live. In fact, we'll see exactly how the timing of this goes. These dungeon design dashes are really hard to fit in an hour, and that's with two people running it. We've got twice the work today on me with no more time. So if have good steam going here and it runs a little long, it might just run a little long. We'll see what happens. Okay, so I've got a bunch of stuff set up here. Let's begin with a look at the map, shall we? Let me get that up on screen for you all. Now, I put this map together. This is a map originally by Dyson Logos, who is very kind in creating beautiful maps that he releases for commercial use so that we can use them in cases like this, because these do go up on our drive-through when they're done. So thank you, Mr. Logos. Thank you so much. Wonderful maps, as always. This one's actually been modified by me a little bit. And if you find the original copy of this map, there are a bunch more rooms on the left side that I have edited out to try and get the room count down to something reasonable to do in an hour. Usually I'm targeting like 10 rooms, plus or minus one or two rooms. This one's 14, which is a lot because I guess I am a masochist and wanted even more work for myself. So we got a lot of rooms to get through today. Also cut from the map, the original map did show the outdoors a little bit more. There's a big lake with the little stream rivulet running into the opening at Area 1 here. And that I just removed just to make it look a little bit bigger on the page. But we can still assume there's a lake out there that is feeding this little stream coming into the space. And then let's just quickly review this map, because I've been staring at it for a while, so I already have ideas percolating in my head. But just to get everyone up to speed with me, basically, it's in classic Dyson logo style. You've got the upsy downsy. You've got kind of two levels going on here that is kind of drawn as one level. Rooms 1 through 8 are all kind of on the first level, on the ground level, and rooms 9 through 14 are all a level lower. And you can see the drop-offs, the stairs from room 5 go kind of down to area 10, and room 9, which is open to room 2, is a level down. So I'm assuming what that means is there's a big drop there. So 2 is kind of like a mezzanine or a balcony that overlooks the sunken room 9. In fact, you can kind of see that stream of water coming down. This maybe makes a little falls as it drops into the grate in 9, which I thought was super cool and part of the reason why I chose this map. Okay. I went too fast here. I've skipped the original inspiration for this game. This dungeon design dash we're doing today came out of last week's after chat. I was looking for something to run solo today, and it was suggested that I do this and specifically try to design this as a one-on-one adventure. That is one DM, one player, which I think is super fun. And if we make something cool, then I can run it for Dan. We can do that as an actual play on the channel later. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So, okay, already I see some good comments here. It looks like there are jail bars between 2 and 9. I agree, Buck. Yes, I agree. There's probably Yeah, there's little dots, which at least some kind of fence or railing or possibly bars that go all the way up. It is kind of a prison, right? Because if you look at 10, you've got these, again, between A and B and C and D, you've got those little tiny cells which look like bars. I'm assuming 10 is kind of a prison space. And I kind of want to lean into that. I'm a little inspired by one of my favorite solo modules, M Solo, where you play a thief who's trying to escape from a prison. I'm kind of inclined to do that to this adventure, maybe flip it and begin at Area 10. Maybe the player starts imprisoned in Area 10 and must escape rather than infiltrate. I think that might be kind of fun. Ideas are already percolating in the chat. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to see you all here. Okay. So, in fact, I have a bunch of crazy ideas for Dan. And because we're targeting Dan with this adventure, by the way, Dan, if you're watching this, knock it off. Get out of here, man. Or at least maybe go play the game with me first and then come back and you can read it after. A couple of thoughts about this. In terms of level, I'd love to target very high level. And we might kind of steal a little from A4 here and say it's very high level, but you don't have any of your equipment because you're in prison. So good luck escaping as a high level character with none of your stuff. I think that would be kind of fun. There was some chat in the after chat about, because it's Dan, we should put some maybe nefarious content in here, maybe a cloak of poisonousness or other like really horrible cursed items. So in fact, when we get to the tables later, you'll discover I've made one custom table of horrible cursed items. I went through the OED, actually, I think it was, I went through Greyhawk and just spun through the miscellaneous magic items and thought, let's see if I can find like 6 horribly cursed items that I could put into a chart. And I found 10. So there, I have a nice table of 10 horribly cursed magic items that we might sprinkle a couple of into the adventure. Okay, we like the idea of Dan trying to break out of this horrible prison. Okay, I'm going to jump to... Oh, that was one more thing I wanted to do for everyone here. If you are watching right now live and you feel like participating, I'm going to do something a little unprecedented here. I'm going to post to the chat the actual Google Doc link of the Google Doc I'm working out of. I have opened it up to comments and suggestions from anyone with this link. So if you want to help me out here and get in there and type some suggestions or leave some comments on stuff I've written, by all means, jump in. We'll see how that goes. If it's chaos, maybe we'll change our minds, but please feel free. So I'm going to jump over to that Google Doc right now. Here we are. Okay, great. And I already had some ideas for 10, and because we want to say like 10 is our starting point. Wait, I'm getting ahead of myself again. I always like to start with Matt Finch's Tome of Adventure Design. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we usually start there. We roll up a random title for the thing. That adds a little extra inspiration. I know I'm so excited about this idea of Dan being in prison. I want to go with that. But before we do that, let's roll on this guy here. In fact, set this up here so we can do some rolling here. We're gonna roll the name of the location, which is always and you can see in the title of the doc. I've already kind of put in A, B of the X, Y. That's the format these titles always take. So we're all set up for that. I'm going to kind of call an audible here and say I'm very willing to make the second roll prison of the, because that fits better. And I'm worried that the second roll, we're going to come up with something really weird that doesn't fit at all. But we're going to roll anyway and see what happens. So let's roll some here and see what we get. So I am on table 1A here. Matt does have a whole second 1B, which is a whole nother chart of 100 entries, but what the heck, we're on A. That's what we're going to do. So we got a 23, which is corroded, and a 13, corroded carnival, which sounds super fun, but I'm prepared to make that corroded prison. But corroded carnival of, another 13 of the Cabalistic 47. I mean, I do like the alliteration. Father of the Cabalistic Father? That's weird. I'm gonna reroll that last one. 71 gets us monks. Kabbalistic monks sounds way more fun. So corroded prison of the Kabbalah. Yeah, Bacchus was mentioning fatherhood. Monks is a little easier to go by, I think. So jump over here. We're going to name this guy the corroded prison. Was there a synonym for prison that starts with C, like cells? I want to sound. Okay, I'm trying to get the alliteration back. Corroded prison of the Kabbalistic monks. Yeah, we'll call it that. And this is our working title. We've done this. I like this process. We've done this thing in the past where we worry that maybe that title maybe gives away too much. And so maybe we want to rename this at the end so it doesn't give away too much about the content. But here's another idea I had when I was looking at these charts. One of my other favorite charts here that Mr. Finch gives us is kind of weird monsters or interesting custom main monsters, which I love rolling on. So here's my thought. What if Dan was, and I love that we're just referring to it, it's as Dan's adventure. What if our player was captured by the monks of the cabal, whatever cabal they happen to be? What if he was captured and imprisoned by them, and then some creature either attacked or escaped or otherwise caused a ruckus, and that is giving us our moment of now's the time to escape because chaos is happening within the space. So what I want to roll here for is a custom bossish monster that is wreaking havoc throughout the dungeon, not the Kabbalistic monks, but something else. So let's see if we can get something fun, some creature. Something that is causing trouble here. So let's see. Yeah, here 71 is planar. Some kind of extra planar. Okay, so maybe the monks have accidentally summoned something. Let's jump to where's our planar? Oozes. How do I find this? The humanoids, where are oozes? There's oozes. Planar creatures, boom, there we go. Okay. Planar creatures are monsters having their origin home in another dimension or plane. That's great. Okay, I guess I'm gonna roll on this chart right here. 52, that gives us something summoned. Perfect. That's kind of where my head was going anyway. Dark. Oh, is summoned have a different subtable? Well, let's take a look back at our index here. Summoned creatures. Yeah, that table. Normal purpose of summoned monster. Okay. Suggest the physical appearance and powers. What do we got? We got a 50. Which is instrument of revenge. Physical form of summoned creature. Let's try that. The cabal has summoned some kind of creature for revenge. We got an 18 here. Is serpentine or spiral shape of mist-like other planar substance. Stable exurance. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be rolling on 251 or 252, but 251 gives us some kind of like serpentine mist-like thing. And 252 looks like it's going to potentially, if I roll on this guy, give us something totally contradictory to that. But let's see. I like rolling on charts. Let's see what we get here. Spongy with or without holes. Decent aquatic. Oh, I see. I thought this was roll one of each column, but these are unusual composition for beasts. Cone, pyramid, or pillar plant body forms. I'm not sure what I'm rolling here. Problems with some creatures. Spongy with or without holes. Some kind of snake like, ethereal, something. Let's see, what kind of problem do we have with our summon creature? Demands considerable sacrifices in exchange for its services. So it sounds like the monks were trying to summon some kind of horrible creature for revenge. Perhaps let's jump back to our document here. All right, my brain's cooking. Here we go. What I'm thinking is the monks are trying to summon this horrible creature and they're feeding it prisoners. Maybe in 10, we've got the player, maybe a couple of unusual NPCs, because I have some ideas for that, and maybe an empty cell because someone's just been dragged out to go to the summoning chamber. Gosh, doesn't 9 look like a great place to summon some kind of misty, incorporeal, or spongy snake thing, which we will say goes on a rampage, causing the moment of... okay, let's get some notes in here. So 10, prison cells, player begins in cell. I'm going to put them in B. We can... monks retrieve prisoner from cell D. Let's get those capitals so I can see them easier. Start of adventure and drag them to area 9 for sacrifice. I'm just going to put in quick notes here. Oops. Okay. B, we said, is player's cell. Okay. Here's my thought, viewers. This is another thing that just has been in my brain that I wanted to get out because I think it will be fun, is what if there are a couple cellmates that possibly the player could convince to help them, and they're all terrible, terrible choices that are not something you want. Want you to viewers are going to ask you, people in the chat, spin on this idea, because I have one really good idea for this and I need a second one. So I'm going to narrate my first one here and you can think of potentially maybe a second, backstabby, terrible person that you could maybe try to get to help you, and it's unwise. In cell A is old bedraggled man claiming to be powerful wizard, clutching his quote lucky rock. He is in fact actually a powerful wizard, but has lost all his equipment and has no spells memorized. His, quote, lucky rock is the focus of his magic jar spell, which he will use to take over the body of anyone he thinks can help him make a better escape. So I'm imagining kind of, crazy old guy with his lucky rock. He'll get in there. He'll maybe be helpful in the beginning with the player. Let's get out of here. He claims to be a powerful wizard, has no spells memorized. He's kind of useless. If he gets himself killed, he will try to inhabit whatever body is nearby. Or he will just try to, at an inopportune time, take over the player. Or maybe there is a beneficial outcome here where he tries to take over an enemy or maybe even successfully does so. But I just love the idea here of twisting the magic jar spell in this terrible way. Just because Dan and I have talked a bunch about magic jar spell, and it's very funny to do that. So, folks, anybody have an idea for who is in cell C? Think on that. Chew on that, my friends, and we'll come back to that. We also know I'm going to fill in some of 9 here, because we know that 9, first of all, looking at this map, can I jump back? Where did my map go? Jump back to the full screen map here. As we look on this map, if he's trying to escape, the easiest route seems to be, 10 to 9 to 2 to 1. That's straight line, out you go. So I want to make that as hard as possible. And we've already said that there's an elevation change from 9 to 2. Maybe there are bars. I actually really like that. Let's just say yes, those are bars, so that's going to make it harder. And let's say the room from 9 to 10 is locked and barred from the side of 9. The jailers in the very beginning of the adventure will come in, grab whoever's in D, drag them up the hall, slam the door shut, lock it, bar it. Screams begin, panic erupts, everybody runs, and go. That's the start of our game. So, so in number 9, I'm going to say, door is locked and barred on from 9 side. The pit contains our horrible creature, right? Pit contains horrible summoned mist snake creature that has broken loose. I'm thinking along the lines here of like an elemental. I'm going to even write that as a note to myself and maybe base this on water or air elemental. Cool. Horrible summon that has broken loose and is attacking summoners. I especially like that it is kind of incorporeal and misty, because it probably just goes right through those bars. I'm imagining that the monks are all up in area 2, performing their incantations, to summon this thing, and then it just horribly attacks them. Horror. So let's put that in 2. Let's say 2. Maybe say a dozen monks, stand around heavy iron bars, summoning the creature from the pit in number 9. It easily phases through the bars to attack them, killing many instantly. Something like that. There you go. So let's see, we've got some ideas here coming in. Thank you, friends. A humanoid monster of some kind, maybe a pair of bickering siblings. I'd like to keep it as a single thing. I'm worried about how many silly voices and how many different characters I got to keep in my head during that opening scene, right? So they haul the prisoner out, he screams in horror, more shouts, more screams are coming out, and then you've got the player in their cell and in their cells to the left and right, and as you look, I forgot to put the doc up while I was typing. Sorry, everyone. But right, as you can look, if the player's in cell B, then to their right they've got cell A, and to their left cell C. You can kind of see maybe those two start bickering and like demanding attention of, "Hey, you should take me. No, you should take me." So a humanoid monster of some kind. Yeah, I like that. Maybe like a something beefy. Maybe like a bugbear or something like that. A nice contrast to our powerful wizard, who's of course not powerful at all. So let's see here. I'm gonna take that. Maybe. Oh no, I hit the wrong one. There we go. You guys are not looking at what I'm looking at. There we go. Okay. human monster of some kind. Let's say bugbear. Very willing to negotiate for escape, is actually a terrible coward who will sell the player out at any moment to save his own skin. How about that? Again, I want it, somebody who's mildly helpful to start, but is probably going to be a terrible idea. So, okay, let's jump back to our map here. So, okay, so we start these things with Sorry, I'm trying to get the ideas out and read the chat, which I'm not doing a good, very good job of. But I see a lot of call for lizard men, and I like that there should be some lizard men. There was some discussion in our game about, or on the show in the past, about how lizard men are cannibals. Although this is not cannibalistic monks, this is cabalistic monks. But let's have some very hungry lizard men in here somewhere. One of these rooms would be actually quite hilarious to have a whole bunch of lizard men in, right? That just wants to, that are just starving and ready to attack you and eat you at a moment's notice. And I'm thinking one of 11, 12, or 13, right? That sounds like a pretty fun little encounter right off the get-go. Is sort of a larger cell. They've chucked like a whole just tribe of lizard folk into the room and locked them in there, and they're starving and ready to eat anyone who opens the door. We're here. Let's call that 11. Great. Entire tribe of starving lizard men are trapped in this room, eager for any food, in quotes, that may show up at their door. Cool. I like that. Okay. There was a call out for, like, maybe some gear, the player's gear or something. And I agree. I don't want to leave the player just completely devoid of stuff. And that's something actually that was in my head as well, of if the player is trapped in this cell, it's not going to be a very fun game if there isn't some way for them to escape. There needs to be some interesting ways. And I think there are a couple. If they're playing a thief, I'm probably pretty open to the idea that the cell has something, some bits of refuse or whatever, something that could be used as a thief tool to get their door open. If they're a big burly fighter type, maybe we just let them bend the bars. And maybe at 10, what we'll say is monks, tree preserve and tea, at start of adventure and dragon area rant, leaving only a single silent guard behind. Because it would be nice actually if there is like a single guard there that could be influenced in some way or something like that. And maybe has the keys on them. To just watch the prisoners, and then we hear all the screams and we see him starting to panic and look around, and maybe that's a thing where the player can use their influence or something to, you know, come over here and yank him or get him or something. I'm not trying to like prescribe any means of escape. I just want to make sure that there is ample stuff available for them to escape as they see fit. I'll put a note here. Again, as we write these, just for folks who haven't done these with us before, everything I'm writing here is very rough form, just rough notes to myself. After we get just the guts of the game out, I do come back to take a pass to make it more readable, more legible, and whatnot before these are released as PDFs to everyone for free. That's right. If you are a patron, you will get a free copy of this, of the final PDF of this, along with all of our other dungeon design dashes. This one may be a little faster than others because I'm not going to go back and forth with Dan on editing passes on this. This one is all mine. Come check out our Patreon, join our Patreon. And this, I think, is number 9. So I think we still have 2 in the editing queue. But that means there's at least 6 of them available to everyone right now. So, yeah, come grab some free adventures. Okay, I digress. Bits of refuse litter the floor. There should be ample material. Bits of refuse litter the floor. Maybe each cell contains a bucket. There should be ample rough material for players to attempt to use for escape. Great. Excellent. I noticed someone typed in maybe their gear and miscellaneous equipment in 14. I do like there to, I want there to be some treasure or at least some gear, some stuff available to them. 14 strikes me as weird just because there's no door at 14. It's just an open space. What if we put their gear or other useful equipment in locked up in 13? We can have that door locked in useful gear. And then something unpleasant in 14 to come get them. I like that. So let's do that. Let's just come down here and type in 13. Locked door contains equipment of past victims and various treasure. Again, I'm not going to specify exactly what right now. I will come back and put stuff there. Of let's say of the player and past victims. And then something horrible in 14. Okay, so what I want to do for 14 is I want either a trap or a monster or both. And I think I want to come to die. Unless somebody has anything obvious that's jumping out at them. I'm going to look at our chat right here. Let's see. Yep, here's a nice comment from Disparal about, say the player gets to start with a lockpick if they're a thief. Yeah, maybe they got one tucked in their cheek or something. I would definitely be inclined to be generous for the get out of the cell part of this adventure. Dog has a key in its mouth. Oh my gosh, wait a minute, we've got a lovely bit here. You ever ride the Pirates of the Caribbean? There's a part where a dog has a key in its mouth and they try to coax the dog over with like some food or something. Yes, that is delightful. That's a great idea, and I think better than my original idea of like them leaving a monk behind. Let's change 10 and say leaving behind a dog. Do we want it to be a dog? Should it be something more horrible and weird? I'm gonna write dog for now. We want a dog that grips the keyring in its mouth. That's funny. I'll come back to that. It feels like the start of a good idea. If anybody has some clever ways of twisting that, I'm all for it. Okay. What the heck is in 14? Let's go to the dice since I don't have a great idea. Let's go to the dice. I have some charts up here somewhere. Let's go to Dan's Monster Matrix. Yes, Dan, I'm using your own tools against you. And because we're saying that this is super high level, I'm just going to go roll on the highest level EHD 11 plus. Why not? That seems totally reasonable to me. So let's do that. I also like that Dan has pleasantly given me 20 choices at the highest level. As opposed to the usual 12 on all the others. So let's roll d20, see if there's something. I'm going to be generous in rerolls here, because if there's something like a mind flayer in there, I'm going to really be stretching to figure out why the hell there's a mind flayer in there. Unless he's part of the cult. Look, you know what? It seems like I might be able to justify pretty much anything on this list. So let's roll. We got a 19, which is a vampire. There is a vampire in room 14. I like it. I don't hate it. I'm going to give myself a second roll just to see if something is even better. And if not, vampire. Natural 20, a will-o-wisp. Screw that. It's a vampire. Okay. Vampire. I'm going to say 14 is really nice. It's an open doorway into a room with like cushions and, this is maybe, why is this vampire here? I guess the question is the vampire is the vampire here by their own accord? Like, are they a willing member? Are they a member of the cult? Or are they trapped here? actually kind of don't hate the idea that they're trapped here. Maybe as you like come into the room, if you look around the doorway, there's all like strings of garlic or something that is keeping the vampire trapped. And even though there's no physical door, would be actually quite hilarious. Vampire den. A single vampire reclines in luxurious. Spell. There we go. Okay. Luxurious fittings regarding anyone that comes near the hallway. He's trapped here, but not by physical restraints. I guess garlic. Garlic seems like the most obvious thing, right? Like garlic hangs in bunches around the doorway, just inside area 14, keeping him at bay. I also like that it's like a little unclear. Let's see. Oh, I'm going to come back to the chat here. Could be a vampire cult. Could be maybe the vampire still a prisoner or unwilling object of attention of the monks. Let me think about this. So the monks are summoning a thing for revenge. I think maybe the monks are resentful. I'm imagining something of the monks trying to free themselves from the sway of the vampire, maybe, and they were summoning a thing to take care of the vampire, maybe, but then why is the vampire trapped in here? I don't know what the monk's motivation is. It's definitely something that is still brewing in my head of what is going on with these monks. Who are they trying to take their revenge on? Why do they have these prisoners here? The cultists are experimenting. Here we go. Another lovely suggestion. The cultists are experimenting on the vampire, seeing what different kinds of blood do to it, like bugbear blood. Yeah. Let's just throw into 14 a few stray desiccated bugbear corpses. Lie about. You know, as you have. That also puts a lovely twist on the fact that possibly the player's running around with a bugbear helper. That would be fun. Why not? They're scientist monks, indeed. Okay. I'm going to check my time, make sure I don't accidentally go too far over here. We haven't even gotten up to level 1 yet. There's so many more rooms. So we've got a vampire at 14. We've got gear at 13. We've got lizard folk in 11. We still need 12. We've sketched out 9 and 2, so there's this whole section on the first floor, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, that we haven't looked at. And area 1, I'm trying to figure out if there's any other like major elements that I just want to hand write before I start going to the dice here. Nothing is super jumping out, so I think I'm going to start working my way from the front in and see what happens and what the dice give me. So, area 1. I just noticed these suggestions. Thank you. Calaboose cages, corroded cages of the cabalistic. Now I need a C word for monks. But okay. Cultists, corroded cages of the cabalistic cultists. Delightful. Perfect. Okay. Let's roll some dice. There's a call for 12 is just empty. Yeah, why not? Maybe 12 has. Okay, I'll give you empty, but let's put a horrible cursed item in there because I super wanted to roll on that chart. So here we go. There's a horrible cursed item in 12. Just to make life interesting. Let's roll for that. Out of here. Here's a d10. Number 2, it's a sensor of summoning hostile air elementals. So this is a lovely magic item from Greyhawk that looks an awful lot like a sensor of controlling air elementals. But all it does is summon hostile air elementals who want to immediately kill you. Love it. So, great. That's what's in 12. Here we go. Large empty room dominated in center by set up sensor of, what did I say? It's called sensor of summoning hostile air elementals. Summoning hostile air elementals. Maybe some stray blood stains on the floors. Great. There you go. Cool. I think that gives us most of the downstairs. Let's start. Let's come in from the front. I love that you guys are in the dock. Delightful. Thank you so much. Great. Lizard folks, 14, sure. Yes, 13 guard post. That's a good, that's good. Okay. Something went a little wild here on the comments there. Okay, great. Cleaned up. So, let's jump to number one. I'm going to jump to my tables. Here's the I'm going to use this top level table here for room contents. This slight variation of this. So the funny thing is Dan usually rolls this, and he has the chart that he's been hand tuning for this, and I totally don't have that. So I'm making it up as I go. I just made a quick D6 of one empty, two, three, four is a monster, five or six crap. Let's see what's in area number one. Why it's a monster. What kind of monster? Let's jump back to our chart here. All right, maybe I will be kind and roll on level five because can I be kind? Yeah, let's go ahead and roll on level five. Let's give him a break. What do we got? 10. A superhero. Well, that's interesting. A person. A high-level fighter. It's like an 8th-level fighter is hanging out here at Area 1. What's the superhero doing here? Is this a friendly, helpful superhero? Or somebody... let me look back at our map. There's kind of like some rocks and stuff. I'm going to give you guys the zoom in on the map here. Let's do that. So area one, we've got some rocks. We've got this little stream flowing in. It looks to me like this stream is not big. This is like a 2 to 3 foot wide little rivulet of water coming in. There's a bunch of rocks. There is a... I got it. Let's be nice. I'm going to be nice to the player. Isn't that crazy? Here's what I'm going to say is... Area one, player's trusty servant, a superhero, hides amongst the rocks here, trying to plan a means of helping their master escape. So basically the player has a trusty servant. That servant is here, ready, trying to figure out how the heck to break the player out. And, chaos is happening within the caves in perhaps the player spots them and says, "Hey, come run and help me." Maybe not. We'll see. Great. We already got area number two, which is all of our monks. So we're going to jump to area three, which is this interesting little connection room off of the side here. Let's see what's in room three. I got to jump to my table. Tell me, Dice, what is in room 3? The answer is a trap. Excellent. What kind of trap, you ask? Well, let's find out. We have a crushing wall trap. Crushing wall. Does Dan tell me anything about crushing wall traps? Crushing traps. Crushing wall. Solid wall section, 20 foot wide, smashes forward on trigger, damages 16d6, save versus death for half, then retracts. That's horrific, Dan. Why would you do this to yourself? I don't know. Okay. Oops, jumped to the wrong tab there. Okay, now I gotta look at the map again. This is Area 3. There's a crushing wall trap in here. I'm gonna guess it's on the southern wall, and it will slam north, so like you could stay safe as long as you stay on the western side of the room, but as you go east towards 6, if you step in one of those spaces in front of the door, those two southernmost spaces, crushing wall. I love that everyone's trying to justify in the chat why the heck this thing is here, and I'm not going to worry about it. Horrible crushing trap. So we're going to say 3. North wall is stained with blood splatters. If anyone steps into the 2 10-foot squares just west of the door to 6, a crushing wall trap triggers, smashing them against the northern wall. And yep, great. There you go. 16d6. That's horrific. That's a lot of damage. Cool. Cool. Onward. Let's see. There's a recommendation of some clues. Need some clues like thick floor dust that the monks don't go through that room and go around the long way. I don't even know what we're kind of in this weird little subsection of the map, right? This is in Area 3. There's a reason they don't want, maybe we're trying to protect whatever is in 6. That would make sense to me. Maybe 6 is a nice, like, important space. I feel like 6 has got to be, maybe our main living quarters for our cultist guards. Maybe our cult leader is in there, in fact. Cult leader and the remaining guards, and perhaps they flee there as the creature in 9 starts to rampage and destroy stuff. I'm going to say yes to that. That all seems very sensible. Cultist living chambers, the cult leader and surviving cultists retreat to this space from the rampaging summoned monster in Area 9. Cool. But we'll get some stats and such for the cult leader and his minions. There you go. Gotta put our cultists somewhere, right? Okay. I like that for 6. So let's jump to 4. Now 4 is our main intersection. Again, remember that we have bars at 2. So the cultists, if they're living at 6, they're probably coming up to 4 and then traveling down our hallway towards 9 to do their rituals, and then maybe going up through 5 and down the stairs to 10. 5 is probably some kind of like guard post, I'm guessing. In fact, I'm just going to do that. We're going to say that 5 is an abandoned guard post. The cultist guards have all been called to 9 or 6. Discarded weapons. Let's just say there's like weapon racks on the walls. Racks line the walls. Just a place for the player to maybe get some normal equipment if they haven't been so lucky yet to find any good equipment. Containing various normal weapons that can easily be looted. Yeah. Say that's for 5. So some interesting discussion happening in the chat that I want to catch up on here. An idea of maybe the squid sponge water creature cannot get out of the cage, but it produces a bunch of spawn. It's getting cut off. Let's see, can I jump to the produces a bunch of spawn that they did not account for. I kind of like that. Perhaps the bars. If we make it not quite completely ethereal, if it's like spongy and porous, which is just disgusting and horrible, and I love. Maybe it can't really fit through the bars, but little pieces of it kind of squish through the bars and then get lopped off and then become their own little sentient creatures that are then squelching down the hallways and such. That's delightful. I love that. I'm gonna run with that. That is a great idea. Thank you, Rando Wizard. Rando Wizzo. Delightful. Little squid. I like that they're this kind of slug sponge creatures. So we're going to say that, where's our horrible thing? That's 10. So it's 9 summoned. Spongy snake creature has broken loose and is attacking the summoners. It can't quite get through the bars, but bits of it break off into smaller sponge snakes and attack and move through the dungeon. Sure. Yep. Great. Sponge snakes. So we've got... So probably what I'm guessing is going to happen here as you come into 9... you'll see like a bunch of dead cultists onto that. The big thing is coming up out of the grate. And just imagine like this kind of weird porous spongy creature that maybe fills up that entire tube below. And as it comes up, it just like cheese grater gets split into smaller bits and chunks of it are falling off as it squeezes then through the bars into 2. And you've got little, sponge snakes kind of squirming around, area 2. And the hallway to areas 3 and 4. Great. Love it. Okay. Let's we got like 5 minutes left, and what do we not have? We have 4, 7, and 8. 4, 7, and 8. So let's grab number 4. What's in room 4? Another trap. I would really like more of these ridiculous cursed items in the game. But let's jump to... I do like now that if 4 contains a trap, then basically we're saying that all entrances to 6 are trapped. We'll see what's in 7. But I don't hate that 4 has got a trap. Let's roll on Dan's horrible trap thing. Okay. 12 and a 6. We got a 12 and a 3. A magic mouth lightning bolt. Delightful. Do you give us any... does Dan tell us anything about what the hell that means? Yes, traps, confining traps, crushing traps, clubbing traps, slashing, shooting. Really, no. He's got nothing to say about that. It's a magic mouth lightning bolt. Great. Okay. So, sure, there's a magic trap here. I keep jumping to the wrong tab. That's, nope. It's here. So, four, let's say in this southwestern corner on the southern wall adjacent to the door. Magic mouth on the southern wall adjacent to the door. Holds a magic mouth demanding the password. Failure to speak it results in a lightning bolt firing. Let's just say 66 save for half. Firing at the speaker. And then maybe there's like electrocuted squelchy sponge worms flying about the room. Electrocuted sponge worms litter the room. Yeah. Cool. I like that. But what is the passphrase? Excellent. I'm open to ideas. Someone has suggested that we have a food slot at the bottom of the door. Let me try the door. A small metal slot is set in the bottom of the door, which through which food items could be passed. Yeah. That's a great detail. Love it. Okay, we're so close. I'm gonna keep going because I want to get 7 and 8 done. So we're gonna jump to 7, which is our final entry into the main cultist headquarters. Okay, the cultist headquarters, in addition to having the cultists, should have some treasure, and part of that treasure should be a ridiculous cursed item. Don't we all agree? There's not enough ridiculous cursed items in this game yet. I have to. there's gauntlets of fumbling. So I'm just going to put a quick note under 6. Main cultist treasure is here, including a pair of gauntlets of fumbling. That's a pretty funny item. So chuck that in there. Okay. Gonna roll for contents of 7. Oops, all curses. Dan has killed me twice with poisonous cloaks. Poisonous cloaks have killed, well, I guess maybe not me personally twice. But I've seen him kill multiple characters with poisonous cloaks. Ergo, we should have some good, happy magic cloaks in the treasure somewhere. Note to self, as well as some form of beneficial cloak. We're just gonna have a beneficial magical cloak just to screw with Dan. There you go, Dan. You're welcome. Okay, room 7. Oh, we got a 1, which is empty. 1 is empty. 7. That's area 7. I'm gonna come back to 7. We're going to find out what's in 8, and that might help inform 7. Usually, I don't take empty as empty. Empty just has no monsters or treasures, but it's got... no monsters or traps, but it's got something of interest in there. So let's see what's in number 8. Number 8, man, a trap. I have not rolled a single monster. So that was a monster. Yeah, it's a monster. Yeah, that's much better. Okay, great. Let's roll on our high level chart because I like rolling the d20. 15 is an ogre mage. I was really hoping for something non-intelligent because we've had so many intelligent monsters. So I'm gonna give it a second roll, see if we get something better. 18, which gets us an umber hulk. An umber hulk. What do we remember about umber hulks? They like gems. They eat them. They're like semi-intelligent, right? They're not just death and destruction. Gosh, I've never run a game with a beholder in it. I'm so tempted to just drop a beholder in there. Too many questions. It bears too many questions. There is an Umber Hulk. In fact, just to make it extra annoying. Gosh, I keep hitting that tab. What I really want is this tab. Okay. What we really want is 8 single Umber Hulk sits amongst a pile of precious gems. Reclines. He reclines. Single reclines amongst a pile of precious gems, contentedly eating. Precious gems, worth a lot of money. There's an Umber Hulk here. What you gonna do? What are you gonna do about that? Umber Hulk. Yeah. Beholders are rough, and I would really like there to be a beholder, but I feel like it's too late in the game here for a beholder. I'm just left with way too many questions about what the heck a beholder is doing hanging out in the entryway to a cultist. Unless the cult leader is a beholder. Maybe the cult leader is a beholder. Let's consider that. Let's really consider that. The cult leader is a beholder? That's fun. Yeah. Okay, so what we're left with is room 7 is meant to be empty, which is a little weird. It's fine. Empty room. I don't hate empty rooms. But it should probably be, in fact, what if 7 is, in fact, the main treasury? Instead of having it in 6, let's do that. Instead of it being 6, main cultist treasury, strength, blah, 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 let's jump that to 7. And then we can say that a single Umber Hulk reclines amongst a pile of precious gems, contentedly eating. A large hole has been burrowed from here, burrowed from the floor to here and through the wall into 7. So Umber Hulk kind of burrowed his way up, broke through the wall, grabbed some gems, pulled them in here. Snacking away. Delightful. So 7 becomes our main and so I'm gonna say we will say that the doors to 7 are locked, kind of irrelevant for what's going on in Area 8. What was Area 8 before the Umber Hulk happened along? Maybe just a little like waiting area. Maybe 8 was just like a pleasant little receiving area for visitors, etc. waiting area now ruined by the presence of a single Umber Hulk, which reclines amongst a pile of precious gems contentedly. Large hole has been burrowed. There we go. Great. Both doors into this room are locked, though a huge hole has been broken through the wall to Area 8. There we go. Yeah. Not bad, I think. This is some good stuff here. I still need to fill out the Wandering Monsters table. Write in some background here about what's going on. But I feel like we're at the hour mark, and I feel pretty good about what we've accomplished here, everyone. Thank you so much for all of your help. This is a fun little adventure, and I look forward to running it. I will come back. I'm gonna leave the document open for at least the rest of the day. So anyone wants to come in and leave some suggestions, please feel free to do so. And then I'll come back, clean it up, and when Dan has returned, Dan should be back next week. But when he's when he's back in the flow of things, I'll talk to him about when we could potentially run this for him, because I think that would be a fun thing to do on the channel. I think that is probably about wraps it up for us. Thank you everyone again for your help. I really appreciate it. I know I was probably not on top of the chat nearly as well as I wanted to be. It's just a bit difficult to keep tabs of all the bits and pieces while I go here, but I had a great time. I think we made a cool adventure. I want to go and read the entry for Beholder and remind myself about all the horrible things about Beholders to find out if it is terrible or hilarious for the cult leader to be a Beholder. I mean, the more I talk about it, the more I'm enjoying it. Anyway, please leave. If the document is still open, please get in there. Leave some comments, some suggestions as you see fit. If not, but I have not yet run this for Dan, please do leave me some comments in the comment section of the YouTube video. If you have further ideas of things you would love to see in this adventure or ways to spin it in unusual ways, I'd love to hear from you. I think that is the fun of Dungeon Design Dash for me, is like taking weird ideas from lots of different directions and trying to weave them all together. So super appreciate everyone in the chat, and appreciate in advance anyone who leaves further suggestions, comments, etc. Really looking forward to seeing some of that stuff. Remember that you can like and follow and subscribe to us. We are on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook and Loops and TikTok and GitHub. And we have the handle Wandering DMs on all those places. So please join us there and tickle that like button. If you prefer to listen to our show in audio-only podcast format, you can do so. Those podcasts are on our website at wanderingdms.com. Also available through various third-party podcast carriers like iTunes and Spotify and Pocket Cast, and probably a bunch of others I'm not thinking of. If you're listening to this show right now on a site that offers the ability to do so, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. That helps other users of that site find our show, and we really appreciate it. Huge thanks to our patrons who support the show. If you'd like to join them, please visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. Every tier gets you access to our private Discord server, where we do have the most intelligent, erudite, and attractive patrons in all the land, conversing about D&D and role-playing games in general, and board games and comic books, and I don't know if we're really talking about comic books, maybe all the kind of interesting, fascinating topics that we enjoy. I'll be there in about 10 minutes to host the after chat. Maybe some extra ideas will come out. Maybe we'll edit the doc a little bit more. Who knows? Please come join me. I would love to see you. And don't forget, we are live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time next week, hopefully with Dan, back in the co-pilot seat. Or am I the co-pilot? Unclear. I hope you'll join us for some more thought-provoking discussions. We'll see you then.